Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Weva. Alongside me is my co-host, Mr. Chad Artemis Riley.
Howdy. Ooh, Artemis.
I just thought of it on the fly right now.
Good job.
No.
Thank you. I tried.
You thought of Artemis all
what?
On your own.
What? Yeah. So anyway,
now that we made him feel bad about himself,
so there's that.
No, we got a great show in store for you tonight, guys, and we actually are coming straight from the theater. We are excited to talk about this film because it has been a film of conversation for a long time now, and we finally got to see it. That is, we are talking about Suicide Squad, Warner Brothers' own Guardians of the Galaxy version.
Squad goals,
you know, hashtag squad goals. So we're going to talk about that. But, of course, we're not by ourselves tonight. We
actually have
a team here. We have a whole group of people.
A whole bunch of people went and saw this movie.
Now, of course, you know him as the fly on the wall. That is the host of Video Game Bang, Mr. Corey Vincent.
Hey, what's up, pizzas? Feels good to be in my own studio hosting a show that is not mine. I'll leave that there.
And that's where he's going to leave it. Also with us, too, is a special guest. We got a cosplayer, Made of Might, who actually fills in with the VGB crew and is now officially a part of the VGB crew, as I understand.
She's full-fledged host.
She's been jumped in.
She's been jumped in. Yep. We got Made of Might, Jessica, here on the show today.
Hello, friends. Very excited to talk about this movie.
We are super super excited. And
we are super
awesome.
Super awesome, and you should be glad we invited you.
Exactly.
I'm so excited. God.
No, you know, we really had a great conversation before the movie started, and Jessica just happens to be a really big fangirl. She loves comics. She loves the stories and so forth. And so this was one of the films that you had been anticipating for a while.
Yes, definitely.
And so, and Corey's just whatever. So
I don't care.
He doesn't care.
Downgraded.
So we're going to talk about that and much more. But before we go there, The Filmlosophers is presented with maniacal laughter and a killer soundtrack by Mingle Media TV and recorded live at VGB Studios. Remember, you can subscribe to The Filmlosophers podcast on your favorite platforms and download previous episodes from iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Stitcher, Player FM, or Audio Boom. We're also on social media, so you can like and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/filmlosophers and twitter.com/filmlosophy101. And share your thoughts about recent movie news or our latest review episodes. As well, you can catch all our episodes, as well as Video Game Bang and
me, myself, and I.
We're going to have him on here every single week
exactly.
Just for that part.
That's the only reason why I did that.
You got to just think of the Good Burger soundtrack. Me, myself, and I, you know?
So you can find all those podcasts on our website at VGBStudios.com.
When I quote De La Soul, you cannot look at me like I'm a weirdo. We all grew up in the 90s. De La Soul is legendary. They were the Beatles of the 90s.
I'm going to let you float out there for a little bit.
They were the Beatles of the 90s.
That was a steep...
That's quite the claim.
So we're going to move forward.
No one has my back, huh? All right. I see. It's going to be a great show.
So before we get into some of that awesome and juicy reviews that we're going to be talking about, let's get into a little bit of movie news. At the top of our list, Sicario 2 writer says sequel is everything Sicario was about and even more so with end quotes on steroids. So the production on Sicario 2 is set to get underway shortly, with Sicario 3 already in the works as well. And Collider recently got the chance to speak with original film writer Tyler Sheridan about the film at an event for the Western-tinged crime drama Hell or High Water, which Sheridan also wrote. The screenwriter revealed that Sicario 2 doubles down on the hardened aspects of the first film.
Which is considerable, because you and I saw this in the theater when it came out, and it has some very hard elements in it.
Yeah, it's a really, really intense film that, I mean, from first glance, it's, you know, about the Mexican drug war, and there's Benicio del Toro is insanely, you know, just superb in the whole entire feature, and to hear that they're going to be doing more. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is the image of those naked bodies that were hung upside down on the bridge in Mexico.
Right, yeah. They crossed the border at one point. The main characters crossed the border into Mexico, and they kind of experienced firsthand what some of the drug lords have done to prove their dominance in... I don't remember the name of the town, but anyway, it's like visually very distinctive. It's a little scarring psychologically. And I think that one of the interesting things about Sicario, number one, it put this guy on the map as a writer, this Taylor Sheridan guy. Fantastically written, phenomenal performances from several players. Josh Brolin, Emily Blunt, and as you said, Benicio del Toro are the main ones. Benicio del Toro in particular, very understated in his performance, like very almost entirely subtext-driven character. And... man, just had a killer story arc in that movie.
Corey, have you seen Sicario?
No.
I could have swore I had told you to see that several times over. Several times.
You were told to see it. Why haven't you watched it yet?
When did you listen? Come on.
You're assuming I listened to you, first of all. You're assuming I listened to anybody, second of all.
That's actually very true.
Yeah, I'm the video game guy. I'm here.
But you know what, though? What does come to mind? You did watch that series on Netflix called Narcos, right?
Oh, Narcos.
So the same concept as far as way that film went.
See.
But intensely more so with the performances with Benicio del Toro, si. The whole drug war that goes on in Mexico.
Drogas, sí. Si.
Exactly.
Si. Drogas.
Si. Tyler Sheridan was quoted as saying that it's funny, a lot of people think that Sicario is about the drug war and the cartels. It's not. It's a movie about American policy and the way that we police. And Sicario 2 is that on steroids.
Damn. Si. Like, si. How can you beat the stuff that's already been shown, like bodies. And
yeah, no,
damn.
That was,
how's it going to get
you
more
saw
intense?
The movie?
No, but just
oh
listen
my gosh.
You talk
yeah,
about
it's
it.
It's intense.
No,
it really is.
That, what he was describing as the bodies is not even the worst.
Oh,
that's
God.
Within like the first 20 minutes of the film.
Damn.
No.
Okay.
That one's about halfway through what you were describing, but there's a sequence in the opening sequence of this film, psychologically scarring, like going in not knowing what to expect and then what they find in the house that the police team is raiding. I think it's what DEA or something. She's with some group. Emily Blunt's character is sort of the point of view character in the movie. And the very first sequence that you have, they raid a house and discover bodies in the walls of the house.
Oh, God.
And it's just, I mean, it is beyond. Yeah. And then you have to watch the rest of the movie. It's a very well done movie, but it's really, really like, it kind of punches you in the face.
And mind you, that whole scene that he's talking about is capped off at the very end with an explosion in the garage. So, but we'll find out more about how the film
comes garage?
Out. In the garage.
Dime more.
It is late, ladies and gentlemen, and Corey has turned full on Mexican. But we'll check out more and let you guys know about more information that comes about. But next on our list is Avengers Infinity War is officially a standalone movie. Part 2 is now Avengers Untitled. So the long-awaited third Avengers film officially has a name, and it's slightly different than what was previously announced. Disney has announced that Avengers Infinity War Part 1 is now officially titled Avengers Infinity War. However, in a surprise move, Avengers Infinity War Part 2 is no more, as the film is now simply Untitled Avengers Movie. That's how they're stating it in their press release.
But you know what? I'm kind of sick of the like part one, part two. Like you gotta wait years until you know what goes on.
Yeah,
it might be a smart move on their
part. I was gonna say, I think they picked up on that.
Yeah,
with like the Hunger Games and all those other films that take the last part of this one and they make it a two parter.
Yeah. Well, and look at what they did with the Divergent series, which I'm not a fan of. Full disclosure, but that part two ending movie is not getting made.
Or I gotta say, like. Twilight, just why was the last movie two parts?
Were they the first ones to really jump out and do that?
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
was it them or
Harry Potter did it, but they at least had story.
Yeah, they had enough
to
like,
chew
filler
through. Oh, the Deathly
to
Hallows was done twice. Okay, yeah, that was the two.
Like for me, I even think The Hobbit shouldn't have been three movies. Just saying, like they could have cut so much out.
Yeah, well, they had to add so much in to
make
it. Yeah,
exactly.
Movies,
like,
yeah.
So I'm all for making a decent standalone film and not having to drag it out.
Jessica, what do you think follows Infinity War, like naturally in comic story, like what comes after? Is there like something that happens?
Well, there are
War?
So many rich storylines to pull from Marvel Universe, like
but
so many. Infinity War is pretty epic, so I don't know like what they're going to follow up with, like what's going to be, you know.
Well, in theory, like this last Avenger one is the thing to end all this phase, right? This whole universe.
That's true. And then they can just move on. Like maybe they'll have a little lull, like, oh, things are good. And then like they'll be hit with, I don't know, maybe some like Secret Wars stuff, or maybe like, oh God, what's it called? Secret Invasion. Maybe, perhaps. Yeah. Like, there's a lot they could touch
on.
That
depends. It depends on who owns the Skrulls.
Yeah. And it also...
Fox might own the Skrulls.
Yeah. And it certainly does depend, like, because, honestly, the cinematic universe could go anywhere. Like, they could just be like, okay, we're done following comics, now we're going to do our own thing.
Yeah, well, and now they're layering things like the supernatural with Doctor Strange. I mean, you're getting different story elements in play that could easily affect
like,
the canvas
like,
overall.
Like, even, like, NovaCorp could go out and, like, find something. Like, there's so much that could happen that... You know, I'm excited for the future of Marvel.
World War Hulk, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah,
they've,
Hulk
they've
cool.
already announced that the Planet Gladiator Hulk, Hulk Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk, yeah.
Planet Hulk,
yeah.
Not
Planet
World
Hulk
War
is
Hulk
the precursor
to World War Hulk.
So at the end of Thor, if Hulk gets, like, abandoned by Thor, left on a planet or something like that.
And
or,
they could even, like, pull in, like, the, some of the newer characters that have been real, real awesome. Like, they're already doing Captain Marvel. Like, they could even touch on some of the newer, like, females.
Oh, they definitely should.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to see more in the Spider-Verse. I've always said that. Like, always said
Spider-Verse.
Is this
whole thing you're just trying
really cool.
to get us to mention Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Verse.
Because you do have, like, the most amazing Spider-Gwen costume in the country right now.
No, I want to save Spider-Verse for a Netflix series. I've said that before.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse would be rocking. Oh.
Well, the title change doesn't come as a surprise, as Infinity War directors Joe and Anthony Russo said in May that they planned on renaming both Avengers films. The two movies are two very different movies, Joe Russo told Up Rocks, with Anthony Russo adding that the share subtitle is misleading, in quotes. The intention is we will change it. We just haven't come up with the final titles yet. But yes, we will change it, said Joe Russo in the previously mentioned article.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about it for a few months. They did their whole press junket for Captain America Civil War, and they were already in pre-production on the first of these two films, and they have to plan them both at the same time because of how big they are.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're not, like, dragging out Thanos. Like, we've seen him already. We saw, like, the tiny snippet of him in the after credit scene. Then we saw, like, a lot of him in Guardians. Like, now I'm just ready for Thanos to be gone. Like, I'm ready to just defeat him and move on.
I'm interested in actually seeing him in action for once. Like, I've seen him sit in a chair. I've seen him rotate. I've seen his head turn. I've seen him grab a glove.
He's good at that.
You know, he's really good at that.
I've seen him smile.
I've seen him
but
smile.
You know what?
Man has a great
smile.
There's so
much to do for the Infinity Wars. There really is.
Yeah,
like,
they've got
there's so many stones they got to uncover still. Maybe, because now that they're putting it down to one part, like, or maybe, like, he gets the glove, like, all together in that movie, and then the next one, like, he uses it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cover still.
It'll be interesting. I wonder if they're going to do anything in the Doctor Strange film because, like you said, they've got a lot Infinity Stone.
I mean, they still have Doctor Strange. They still have Guardians Volume 2, which they've already found one stone. They could possibly be like, what is this thing? Let's find the others. You know, like, there's a lot they could cover, I guess.
And then Thor.
Yeah,
Ragnarok,
Thor, exactly.
All of those come out before.
Yeah, true. So they
but
could
still,
just find
they've
them
got
all.
Story beats of their own. Like, they've done a good job so far of making it fairly organic, but there is a lot of ground to cover.
I love how connected it all is, too. Like, I love how all of the movies kind of have their own little connection, even if it's just purely the stones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. But speaking of Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Homecoming adds UFC fighter Tyrone Woodley and comedian Martha Kelly to the cast. Another day, another addition to the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming, or rather additions, as filming continues on John Watts' Marvel movie with actor Tom Holland as Peter Parker, UFC welterweight champion Tyrone Woodley and comedian Martha Kelly have been revealed for mystery roles.
So Tyrone Woodley just won that title. Like,
did
this
he?
Last weekend, he beat Robbie Lawler for the welterweight title. Dude's worked super hard, was a champion in Strikeforce. This isn't his first acting gig. He was in... a very small role in Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played like a bodyguard or something like that. So I don't know if he has acting chops or he's just going to show up and get beat up. You know, he'll probably just be thug number four.
Hey, you know what I mean?
That's everyone's got to start somewhere.
I mean, if somebody was like, do you want to be in a Spider-Man movie? It'll be for like 2 seconds. I'd be like, yes, put me in it.
There you go.
I don't care what I am.
Woodley revealed the news of his onboarding during a chat on the MMA Hour. I don't know if I can even say this, but I'm working on a Marvel movie on Thursday in Atlanta, he said. And what Marvel movie is currently filming in Atlanta? Thor Ragnarok is filming in Australia at the moment, so it must be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah. MMA Hour is a great show.
I watched that for a while.
You are a big fan of that one.
Cannot speculate about Spider-Man movies because I'll drive myself nuts. Cannot do it.
What? Any thoughts on what possibly could be the big... big baddie for this one coming
Vulture.
Up.
Yeah, they've already revealed.
Vulture, have they?
Yeah, Michael Keaton is
Birdman. Vulture. Birdman is Vulture.
Birdman
is Vulture. Equals Vulture with like
his role.
Turbine wings or something.
Yeah,
right?
Vulture is a really good villain, so it's going to be... I'm sick of the Green Goblin. Much as I love him, so sick of him.
Well, that just about wraps up our movie news, but that brings us to our review, which is about Suicide Squad. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about the film that DC and Warner Brothers have been talking about. It has been overly talked about at every Comic-Con. You see just about every cosplay from, you know, inspired from the film everywhere you go. Suicide Squad.
Are you just enjoying the music right now?
I'm really listening to the music. I just kind of froze for a second.
Stop. Suicide Squad. Ooh.
No, we are just
get in that groove, Eddie.
I was
get in that
Bohemian
groove.
Rhapsody. How do you not listen to that and not stop and just want to jump in? Anyway,
I don't care what you say. This is still Wayne's World song.
It is, of course.
Agreed. Yeah.
Just making sure. I mean,
nobody can take it.
You
from
can't
them.
Take it away from that. No.
Yeah. Just they tried. I feel like they tried, but you can't have
no,
it.
No. Yeah, we're coming fresh from the theater, straight into the studio, and we are talking about the film, directed by David Ayer. Film stars Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Jared Leto, Viola Davis, Jai Courtney, Cara Delevingne, Joel...
Delevingne. It's one of those... several of the letters don't actually get pronounced.
Kinsavis K. Joel Kinnaman, and many more. Initial thoughts, right out the gate, as we left the theaters, what were you guys' just initial thoughts?
I certainly was looking for origin stories.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing costuming and visual effects,
mm-hmm.
and entertaining, and that's what I got.
Great, those are all the things we're going to be talking about too. So
nice. I, as you know, off the record, off the mic, I have not been looking forward to this movie for a very long time.
He hasn't.
It's true. They did start to shift my perspective with their more recent trailers. I was starting to dig it. The music helped. I'll admit.
It did.
And in the movie itself, the music helped a lot. I think that I really, really liked Will Smith. I really liked Margot Robbie. Some of the rest of it was a little messy for me.
Corey, initial thoughts.
I'm just going to cough into the microphone. And then I'm going to say I completely echo the... Immediately when the final credits went, there's a lady behind me who's like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. And then, like, a dude, like, two rows in front of me was like, I wouldn't say it was the best movie, but, you know, it wasn't the worst. I'm going to be right there in the middle.
You're going to be right in the middle?
It definitely was not as the atrocity that Batman v Superman mm-hmm. was, but it is... Maybe this is my mistake, but I drew so many comparisons to Guardians of the mm-hmm. Galaxy because it's a band of misfits. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of toe the line between good and bad, and the marketing was very similar. Like,
yeah.
Choosing a licensed song, you know, and kind of just owning it in their trailers. And it didn't come nowhere near to Guardians bar.
Well, quick flash synopsis of the film. A secret government agency recruits imprisoned supervillains to execute dangerous black ops missions in exchange for clemency. So we're talking about Suicide Squad. And yes, there are a lot of great things that you can look at it and you can say, you know, that it was like this. But as Corey pointed out as well, there are a lot of similarities to... Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, sadly, that kind of stand out pretty obvious. But a couple things we're just going to go over right at the top. So,
this is spoilers.
This is actually...
And let everyone know.
We're going to be talking about spoilers. We're going to be just ruining it for anybody who's listening.
So stop listening if you haven't seen it yet.
we are.
I mean, that's a great pitch.
Oh,
we're going to ruin it for anyone.
We're going to ruin it. So right out the gate, the film opens where... we are introduced to the characters of the entire film. We get a chance to see who Deadshot is. We get a chance to see who...
Deadshot, who's played by Will Smith.
Who's played by Will Smith. One of the things to note, I thought it was very interesting the way they did kind of like the character profile for each person as they went about. It was very... It seemed like it was originally meant to go a little bit more seriously than that. That whole sequence of how they're introducing people, how they're introducing the characters... how Viola Davis is explaining this particular portion of the film, it seemed like it wasn't meant to be as whimsical and colorful.
Depends on what character we're going for too. Like Harley is always going to be whimsical.
Yeah, true.
You know, and Deadshot, he's like the sober character of, you know, the team, and his backstory is a little more sobering, as is El Diablo's. I think it depends on the
interestingly enough, they decided to do the little like character iconography for the characters that you're supposed to pay attention to in the full movie. They don't do it for all of them. Only the ones that kind of play key roles as the movie continues. You've got maybe five of them, and they have like a little like a doodle for what their icon is, and then you get some stats that overlay as animated text with some other elements on the screen.
They definitely tried to bring the funny in some of those. Yeah. Like, you know, the wife spin it around, flip it back, it then ex-wife type of thing. So they definitely tried to
throw in. I liked how they did at least like different text for everybody. Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't have enough time to read it all.
Yeah, some of it happened really fast.
But I did like how it was bringing a different vibe than I've seen from other movies. Like not just stats, but kind of in a more interesting, like, towards each character unique way.
Yeah, it's very obvious that what you see in the trailer, as far as the way the re-edits, I would assume the reshoots and everything, the way those went, how you see the trailers with all the colorful purples and pinks and whatnot, that's essentially the kind of motif for the whole film, I would safely say, assume. Would you guys agree? As far as the whole colorfulness was really apparent for me.
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, we've talked before about how the logo for the film evolved over the age of the marketing campaign.
Yeah. It started as silver on black background, and then they threw in like a little hint of color in the background, and they're like,
and now it's like full on rainbow, fluorescent,
and I love a lot of that is reflected
here in the movie. I really like the graphic design. It definitely needed it, and I feel like this movie, and more so than others, and maybe it's because we've heard all the stories of how they did a bunch of reshoots and they completely changed the marketing like partway through.
Yeah.
I feel like it was pretty obvious to pick out the scenes. It was like, oh, you guys just totally added that.
But I think that most of like the color motifing and the different themes that we see were very much so like based on Harley and Joker.
Yes.
Like all the other characters have no color.
It seemed like every color that you saw inside of that Lamborghini that they were driving in, they're like, that would be a good color scheme for the rest of the film. Let's throw that in different parts here and there.
But you know, in all honesty, like they're the two characters everyone knows. You know, anybody who's never read a freaking comic knows who Harley Quinn and the Joker are. Do they know who Killer Croc is? Probably not.
No. Like, or any of the rest of them. You know who Will Smith is. No. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you don't know who Deadshot is. Exactly. You're like, Will Smith, he's the one with the guns.
Which, interestingly enough, that aspect, the whole overlaying some of their key character stats, actually reminded me a lot of Guardians, because when the Guardians are captured and taken to be processed in the film, you know, you've got a moment with each of them, and it has stats for them listed beside their face. And so there was that kind of aspect, and it plays fine, but at the same time, as the movie continued, the more licensed songs that you have to like kind of demarcate different character beats, in case the acting and the cinematography isn't getting the point across to you, the more and more and more I felt, oh, they like didn't just take a page out of the Guardians of the Galaxy playbook. They took like half of the playbook.
It felt like part of it, they were like, yeah, we're going to make the soundtrack a hit. So we're going to pick all these crowd-pleasing songs, because it was just crowd-pleaser.
But I did feel like the songs that I was hearing did really match the scene that I was watching, at least. I can say that.
I feel like you can do that with any movie, with any song.
Which you should.
It's true to an extent. The older songs that they chose, you're right, Corey. Those do seem like the songs that, you know what, you could pretty much put to like you playing basketball, and it makes sense.
No, me playing basketball would be the Benny Hill song.
But the newer songs, though, the newer songs that they added. Okay, the newer songs, though, the ones that they were adding, the ones that were in the footage that they released from Comic-Con, those songs, what is that one?
I loved the Action Bronson song. Like, that was probably the one that fit the most.
Well, and you see, I think that like Guardian soundtrack at least was all like 70s. Like, it was obviously a very cohesive era. mix.
Because it was his mixtape that he
and
got from his mom.
Exactly. And Suicide Squad didn't do that. They had a very healthy mix of different genres. Yeah. And
a little more eclectic.
Yeah.
When Guardians used the songs, it was like part of the story.
Oh, yeah.
Which
like,
I
loved it. I own that soundtrack, and I don't own a lot of movie soundtracks.
You felt connected to it through,
and you could see the scene, like you could see where he's from and what era he's from.
Yeah,
and I like that. So I don't think that Suicide Squad ripped that off in a sense.
No. Everyone uses licensed music, but I felt like just the rate. It was like, all right, this one. Now we're gonna play Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah,
it was quite a few songs, though. Like it's different than a lot of other movies I've seen. But, like I really did like the soundtrack.
But like I was saying, like the band that I was thinking of, the 21 Pilots, that song that was in the trailer for Comic-Con, that fit really well in the song, and I thought that was a really good addition. Along with a lot of the newer ones, they added rap to it, they added the Action Bronson song, they added older songs. It was a very diverse and very broad range of songs.
And it's a very diverse and broad range of characters that we have as well.
Yeah, and they established that in the very beginning. When they're doing that character profile, they're adding their unique songs. They give certain touches with the songs that they add to.
And you only have so much time to explain to the general public who these people are. Mm-hmm. Like,
and
they've
still
never
don't
seen
get
El Diable.
It quite accomplished with some of them, because there are a lot of characters to try to track. You know, like some of them, you get to know their whole backstory, right? Deadshot, Will Smith, you get to know pretty much all the backstory that matters to who he is today. Diablo, you get to see a whole lot of his backstory. Killer Croc, not so much.
He doesn't really have a complex
backstory. He's a crocodile
backstory,
dude,
though.
And he kills people, and then they make him a brawler. You know, like, so.
They made him very hood.
Some of them are
he was more
developed than others.
Yeah. But I think they also wanted to separate Killer Croc so much so from the Lizard from Spider-Man, because the Spider-Man's the Lizard looked like Killer Croc from the DC Universe.
True.
One of the things that we were talking about, and now that you guys mentioned character-wise, we have pretty much a good amount of knowledge here when it comes to comic books at this table, not including Corey. So
A what?
What's a comic book?
I only read novels.
That's a
graphic novels?
Not even.
I only read little golden books.
No, I don't care if they have nudity in them.
Yeah. No, what did you guys think of the portrayal for each character's performance? You know, with the actor having it, like you were saying, Will Smith played Floyd Lawton, Deadshot. How did he rank up to as far as what you recognize in the comics?
I think everyone was spot on.
You think so?
Yeah, character-wise. The only one...
See, I would say, like, Will Smith would be a big exception for me, because Will Smith did what Will Smith does really, really well, and I don't know that a long-term comic book character it comes close to what he does really well. Like, I loved seeing him portray this character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Total high point for me, because I haven't really seen Will Smith be Will Smith, ironically enough, like in an action movie, and he's got the sarcasm and he's got the seriousness and he's got some action bits and some other like depth bits. Like, totally, he was 100%.
And like totally Deadshot there. Is so that character. Like, he's very sober. He's very like, let's just get this done.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also has a little bit of quip and a little humor, but he's focused on the mission. Like, I think that Will Smith was really good as Deadshot.
Was there anybody that you saw that was kind of wavering? I know, Jessica, you said that you liked everybody, but for me personally, I wasn't too sold on the Enchantress.
Yeah, character. She's the only character I'm not incredibly familiar with. She wasn't in any of the Suicide Squad I've necessarily seen before. I don't know if she's any in the comics further than I've read, but she wasn't in the Suicide Squad animated film, and so I don't really know how she's supposed to be portrayed necessarily. I honestly wasn't expecting her to be the villain.
They don't really broadcast that.
Oh, sorry.
We warned them.
Yeah.
Not only her, but she has a brother who also shows up, and it's like, oh.
I think that whole thing was very rushed, I must say. Like, I didn't really, like, I didn't feel for Dr. June, whatever her name was.
June Good or something.
Yeah, the archaeologist, like, woman.
I really didn't care about her.
June Moon?
They rhymed. Her name rhymed. It was like June a standard Moon. Comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Name. Are you June reading Moon? Those golden books again over there in that corner?
Probably.
June Moon.
But yeah, I didn't really, like, her character was super cool, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't really, like, get to know her mm-hmm. human persona. Yeah. So therefore, I really didn't care. I liked her better as Intangis. Yeah, than I did as
although
Dr.
I can't wait to see the gifts that come out of her little shimmy thing that she constantly is doing. Like the whole second half of the movie, she doesn't stop moving. She's just shimmying.
I also think that like her voice and like she was really weird to me. Like she,
yeah.
I don't know. There was something off.
It seemed like there was a little bit of an issue with the syncing of audio between her mouth moving and the words that were coming out. Towards the end,
and well, maybe they're trying to make it seem like she was like projecting herself, and she was bigger than she was.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
It just seemed a little bit. I do feel you on that because it did seem a little bit off on that end. Yes, it was a different voice, but even then, the voice was saying one thing, and her mouth would either move too quickly for the words, or it wasn't catching up, and it seemed a little bit.
And I didn't really like her second outfit. Like I loved her like dirty, dark witch of the swamp. Look, and then like her brother like puts his power into her, and she's like, "Look at me, I'm a beautiful goddess. Look at me, I'm a model." Like I hated that. I feel if she just looked like the doctor, like
yeah, I didn't like that. I agree.
It I really liked her dirty I didn't witch, see her as a witch persona. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought the person who like jumped off the page of the comic books and the cartoons for me was Amanda Waller.
Definitely,
yeah, I thought that Viola Davis. Pretty much killed it. Way better than the Arrow version. There's not many from the movies that stuff from the DC movies that I would say is like better than the TV shows. But the portrayal of Amanda Waller and just how vindictive and I thought they played her perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a way, philosophically, she's actually also one of the bad guys of the movie.
She's like the main. Villain.
She's the prime antagonist for a team of bad guys.
For them, at least, Maybe not so much for, like, United States, but for our team. Yeah. Heroes.
But she capped some fools.
I was going to say.
Did. She was a badass.
I was against her eventually. I mean, you know the character. I mean, if you're familiar with the character, then you know what to expect going in. But when she did that, when she took out some of her own. For no apparent reason.
Her clearance level wasn't high enough.
They I was like, ooh, I don't like this woman anymore.
She channeled her inner Deadshot.
Yeah, I must say that all of it just happened really fast. That's my only thing, but it just all happened crazy fast.
In a nutshell, kind of like what they were saying as far as with Enchantress. So what ends up happening is Enchantress loses, they lose control of Enchantress. She becomes...
Which they never said how.
Yeah, exactly. Which also I felt was kind of like, huh?
There's a story of the movie, though. They like set a rule, and then they just kind of break it immediately. They're like, yeah, this heart will keep her contained. And then they're stabbing the heart, and she's like, it doesn't hurt me anymore for some reason. But still, at the very end of the movie, she's like, oh, no, the heart got crushed to my dad.
If you could see Corey right now, because he kind of did a little bit of that
shimmy.
He did
that little Enchantress shimmy.
I mean, when you see this movie, you're going to know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Hashtag Corey shimmy.
Yeah, hashtag it. Get trending.
So she gets out of control, which she was supposed to be in. They were supposed to be in control of her, and she starts destroying. Did they say what
she
city
creates?
They were
like
in?
The magical, yeah. Mid.
Say what the hell she was creating.
What was it like?
Midway
was the area Midland they were city? In. I don't think that was the city. I think Midway was like the part point, of the city.
The
they
part
were
of
in.
The city.
Well, she basically recreates the Man of Steel, like, gravity thing, but as a magical, like, it's a ring of trash in the sky with a central spire of light, and it's circling around and sucking some stuff up into it and lashing it. Like, it's visually, it had a lot of similarities to
and
what
I think
we've already seen.
I wish that it looked more, like, witchy and magic-y.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, at one point she says, she's like, they don't worship
build you
us
a machine.
Anymore. They worship machines, so we're going to build a machine to take them down. But that doesn't look like no machine I ever
no.
saw.
No.
So she ends up stealing another vial that has her brother's spirit or whatever. She revives her brother. The two of them both build this machine, and the Suicide Squad is sent in to stop them. So
not even to stop them.
Not
just
even
to get
stop them. No.
I was gonna say, oddly enough, that's not what they're actually going there to do.
You're right. There's a detour. Or the main purpose was to save Amanda Waller, who is locked away, hiding.
Well, who we didn't even know was in trouble. The whole time.
They're going to save a high-value target,
which
HVT,
I thought was really awesome how they later. Just made it was her. Like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That she was the target they were saving.
Yeah, you don't know until Flag goes into that room who they're saving.
Yeah, and Corey kind of let it go as far as what they were talking about with Amanda Waller, where she just offs the whole team that she had because they didn't have a high enough clearance, which was pretty surprising.
She's like, cool, keep me alive until I'm rescued, and then you're
and
gone.
And then they get her to the helicopter, and she takes off. She's like, I'll send another one for
yeah,
you
she's
guys.
She's like, peace out, guys.
She
have a good time.
Only saving herself.
There was a huge old helicopter there, and there was only room for two people.
What bugged me about that whole part was a head-scratching moment, which we were there with B-Boy Spider-Man as well, watching the film. He's a super comic book nut as well. And mm-hmm. So a few times we'd both look at each other and just be like, what the hell are we watching? And one of the parts for me was that helicopter part, because she's got to have the intelligence to know where the bad guy is. So go out and around that sumbitch to get where you're trying to go. Don't fly directly into
and shoot flares to announce exactly where you are.
Yeah, I was like, is that like propelling them? What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm like,
like all the way down the street, we're just shooting flares. Like, here we are.
Those
like,
are to detract from homing missiles. So like,
yeah,
there
and I'm like,
but there was nothing happening.
I'm like, who is shooting homing missiles? You got somebody who's conjuring magic
down
there.
Yeah, it's not a military.
Exactly. You know, I've never heard of a homing, you know, magical beam leave, you know, the ground or anything. So that was... that was pretty questionable.
I don't know where the hell she was going, but
they
why
just needed to get her back in trouble. That's all they had to do. Like, we just need her to get back in trouble.
So she goes back into trouble. They shoot down the helicopter, and so that's when the Suicide Squad, after having a drink, decides to go and save her.
Yeah, they're
the
basically
world.
Like, "Welp, you." I think didn't they try to find her first?
They go down.
They go to find her
the,
first, and then they have the drink. I
and
feel.
Then they have the drink
because they were just like, "Well."
Well,
oh,
because
sorry.
Deadshot ultimately finds the top secret manual that tells him
what
a
happened.
Piece of information that they didn't know before, which was, oh, by the way, this nasty witch that's causing all this problem is, you know, the guy leading your squad is in love with her,
mm-hmm.
and well, her the other version of her, you know, so it's sort of, it's a moment of realization, realizing the truth, and then they go to have their drink.
Which I kind of was like, was that really, like, that significant? Like, is that... like, I didn't know how, like, poignant that was. Like, yes, he has a connection to her, but they're also, like, on a mission, like...
Yeah.
It all was a little
well, I think the mission was really muddy. Like, kind of like you were saying earlier, there's a giant enchanted something bad happening, and your
ring
goal is to go, like, grab one person out of a secure location, put them on a helicopter, and then leave?
Yeah, like, were they like, just gonna wait for Superman to,
the
like,
whole goal
take
was
care
kind
of Enchantress?
Of odd.
The man was dead. Yeah, I was thinking, like, where's Superman? I was like, oh, yeah, he's dead. And then Batman, you know, they show him beating up petty thugs kind of towards the beginning. He played no part of the actual
story. He could have been somewhere else, you know. Like, you never know how far away is that actually from Gotham? Because they talked about Gotham like it
they
was
did.
Somewhere else.
Which makes me think it may have been, like, Metropolis where the city was.
Except in
I
this
don't think
universe
it was
they're
Metropolis.
Together. Gotham and Metropolis are next-door neighbors in,
I feel
in
like
the
it was,
cinematic
you
universe.
You think it was Gotham?
It wasn't Gotham. It
no,
wasn't Metropolis.
I think it
was something
else.
I don't think it was a city that we knew, necessarily.
Mm.
Because it didn't have a big hero of its own, you know.
That's true.
And I don't know
well,
how
suicide,
close they were to the Pentagon. I feel like
they're
probably
where did they say the Suicide Squad was being held at? Wasn't it, like, Louisiana?
It was
Belle Reve. Yeah, Louisiana.
And so they weren't that far from Louisiana. So I don't know. That universe gets me so screwed up because
yeah, especially
DC
if Joker can take a drive
has like
it.
The real they're like in America but not because then they added
right.
I thought it was kind
of
weird how like as Enchantress is like forming her plan, they're building the team. Like they're like, "Oh, well, you better get your team together because this is happening." And then they're like rush putting the team together. Like I really didn't understand that like sequence of events necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, though, when it came to that scene, going into the bar and where they have the drink, the scene that you see in the trailer, the bits and pieces of, I actually think was one of the strongest scenes of the entire movie. And that's the scene where they're all sitting there and they're talking about how, you know, they almost made it, they almost got away, they almost did this. And, you know, that here's to, you know, they cheers to being thieves, honor among thieves. And then El Diablo comes in and talks about the things that he did and how his outburst of his powers caused the death of his family. And I it's not so much that particular part, but what happens next, which is having Harley Quinn, like, just literally tell him, you know,
yeah.
You gotta own that. That's you. That's all you. And once you own it, then you can move
forward. Well, I think she was trying to, like, to me, it wasn't like you need to accept this and then, like, be a better person because of it. She was more like, you did this, you know, like she was scolding him kind of, I felt.
I thought it was interesting, though, because her backstory is she was previously a psychologist in Arkham Asylum, and that's how she got to know the Joker. She became obsessed with the Joker because he was her patient, and et cetera, et cetera. And in that moment in the bar, she's playing bartender, right? So you've got the whole, like, bartender cliche shtick thing, like, listens to everybody's stories and gives good advice. But then in that moment of telling him what actually could be considered sound psychological advice, like, you've got to own your past. You've got to own what you did. You've got to own what happened, or you're never going to move on. I thought that that was actually part of her original life.
Oh, yeah.
Kind
as
of
a psychologist.
Coming briefly back to the forefront. And then, of course, it recedes again into her whole personality.
Because that happens quite a bit in the film where she's spaced out in 1 second. And then, like, even the incident where she's in the stairwell and Deadshot comes up to her and, like, kind of breaks her out of her trance that she was in of just, you know, spacing out. And she talks to him about love and whatever. And he's like, I've never known love. And she says, you know, classic textbook sociopath. The mere mention of that kind of, like, you know, brought to me, like, okay, so she still has some of that, you know, her original mindset somewhere back in the recesses of her mind.
Well, I saw that whenever there's a part of the movie where the Enchantress lets them all see their perfect vision of the world. And hers wasn't, like, some loony bin crazy thing.
Not at all.
Joker robbing a bank or something. Mm-hmm. It was actually, like, you know, Jared Leto as, like, himself all cleaned up, you know, and they were...
He looks like he was in American Psycho, which was kind of interesting.
It was, like, just those two in, like, a suburban life, you know, they're playing with their children in a kitchen, eating pancakes or whatever. So it was just, like, deep down when she got to see what her real, you know...
Desire.
Beyond all the veil that is Harley Quinn, deep down, the biggest desire is to just be a normal person with the Joker.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting.
And speaking of El Diablo, talking about...
I didn't say anything about El Diablo.
I did. But you know what? I did. Now, did anybody, like, really expect what happened at the end where El Diablo becomes this huge, I guess, some kind of Aztec god or something? And
no,
starts,
but it was awesome.
It was a good moment.
It was a great moment, but I was like, where is this? He's literally cussing at him in some Aztec language or some...
Yeah, the Enchantress and her brother already are like Mayan, Aztec, something, some Central American deity figures. And the more that they tap into their magic, the more godlike they become. And they speak in an ancient language. And so at some point then in the climax of the film... Diablo also transforms and starts speaking in that same language, and they start having an argument while they're fighting.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really...
Yeah, because I was like, how are they going to take out him? Like, they're not going to.
Yeah, I was like, dude, if they kill him after all this, I'm going to be so pissed. That's, like, not even fair.
Wait, which him are you talking about?
I'm
talking about
Diablo.
Okay.
Because I'm like,
oh, I was talking about the brother.
Yeah,
I was like,
she was
how
talking
are they
about the
defeat
brother,
the
and then
brother?
You started talking about Diablo.
No, I'm
yeah,
just
how are they
going to
defeat the brother who was like 20 feet tall, has these like weird like tentacle things that come out and
magic driven
like, transform you, and like it's all weird. It's all weird. And then you've got Diablo.
Because I'm like, how is Harley Quinn going to face this dude?
Yeah, clearly none of the rest of them
no
are doing
powers.
It.
With the
clearly.
With her bat
and she does
and her
go
gun.
In there and try to swing around a couple times and. She, of course
I like
she
how
smacked.
She even she hits Enchantress and she's like sorry like whoops shouldn't have done that. She knows her limits.
One of the things that was really noted with this film was the obviously the cinematography, the way this film was shot. It was almost as if they wanted to do something that had an artistic flair to it, but they didn't want to go like full committed to that. Kind of like what they did with BVS, with Batman vs. Superman. Batman vs. Superman was over-stylized. It was extremely artistic. There were several scenes in it that seemed to be like, oh, we're going to do this because this looks really good at this point, at this angle, and you know, let's hope people remember that. I think this one didn't really do too much
artistic. I was going to say, I don't think that this movie went to that level. That Batman versus Superman, they had that whole, like, Zack Snyder had that operatic.
And it was trying to be a more serious film. Like, this one was much more whimsical.
Yeah. But this was a very well-made film. Like, from a filmmaking 101, aside from some of the overly CGI parts, and yes, there were definite story elements that didn't work out all that well, but just in terms of the telling a visual story in the film of, like, a movie, it was a well-made, especially in the first half of it, very well-made. Had a pretty standard, not standard in a droll kind of way, but a standard filmmaking shtick, if you will. It still had its, like, pieces that were distinctive. Like, how do you tell this character's backstory versus that character's backstory, make sure it's got a life of its own. All those were distinct and unique, but I thought from the very get-go, some of the directing choices that were made are like choices that you see from really good, talented directors.
Yeah, Batman v Superman did kind of go over the top, especially with the, you know, 20th time we've seen Bruce Wayne's parents die. But, you know, the pearl necklace wrapping around the gun as the guns, you know, actuates and bursts the necklace. Burst, and yeah. You watch what happened to every single pearl. This one went down the drain. This one, a rat ate. This went through every single, like, thing in perfect slow motion. This one they did it in one scene, but it was like the most, it was like the climax of when they throw the gun and you know, that super slow-mo ending,
which where, like, every good superhero movie has like one of those moments.
That was a good one.
But it's gotta be the most pivotal one, not the origin
story. Not like in the very beginning.
And mind you, there's a couple scenes, like in the beginning, I thought it was pretty well positioned as far as some of the shots that they did, like the shot with Floyd Lawton and his daughter and how the snow is falling and things like that. I thought that was really well done. I thought those scenes in the beginning, but that was another one that you said, like the end shot, it was really well done. Really, it was really satisfying to see how that way ended, like that entire scene, to have the final shot be his, whom even at the very end, he's still facing his own personal demons, like losing his, you know, not having his daughter in his life and all that. But yeah, the overall look of the film and the overall CGI of the film, I thought was actually a lot more well done than I would have expected, to be honest.
The only CGI thing that really bugged me was the main villain at the end when she's doing the jiggly dance.
The jiggly shimmy.
She jiggles a lot.
She was very obviously animated at times.
Yeah, and I feel like more practical effects with her at that stage of the movie would have...
Like more makeup and like raw... things would have been better.
Yeah,
like I certainly liked all the jail cells. I loved how they were all different, and I loved any scene where Harley and Joker were together. Like their back, their like flashbacks and stuff. Like everything in their world is so cool. Like the club they were in, the car they drove. Like it was all really cool and stylized.
Quick side note: what was Common's character in the film? Did anybody pick up a name or anything? Common had a small little role in the film.
Monster T.
Was that who he was? Does that ring a bell to anybody? Because I was like, okay.
Don't look at me.
You put Common in the film and you kill him.
There's a cameo.
He has a cameo, yeah.
He goes to a club. He insults Harley.
Was that him?
Out of her earshot. And then
I mean,
Joker
decides to... I think they just really wanted to establish like that Harley is the Joker's. You know, and I really liked their story together. I thought that it was a much... better love story than I expected out of them. I expected him to like throw her away constantly, but throughout the entirety of the film, like he is like trying to save her.
So Jessica opened the can of worms here, and let's go ahead and kind of put this on the table. What were your guys' impressions of the Joker? Just putting it all out there, let it fall on the table.
I loved it. We needed a different Joker. We needed something little different. We did.
Did you?
I've been doing that too.
I love that every actor like takes his own, you know, plunge. And when I first saw the Joker's new redesign, I was like, this is fresh. This is something we haven't seen before in every single comic and every single movie. Like, I'm excited to see where this is. And I liked seeing him as this like hardcore gangster thing rather than, you know, the same very whimsical character that he tends to be.
He came off more for me like some kind of like a mafioso,
and I liked that.
He seemed to have, but for me that kind of loses a little bit of the whole, you know, chaos type thing for him. The whole just let things lie how they are, and I've never really seen the Joker as somebody who chooses to run an empire like that. I didn't think it was bad. I'm not saying that at all. But it was unique.
And I liked that. We needed a fresh take. And we don't have his origin story yet.
Yeah, what we don't have is like a full, well acted scene, I feel.
Yeah, we got snippets and tastes of him. I don't think they wanted him to really like take too much of the attention of the movie, because he could have stolen the show like easy peasy. Maybe. If like he was bigger. His acting was superb.
Maybe. We don't know. I mean, the most we saw from him was the common scene, and how are you supposed to focus on the acting? You got Margot Robbie dancing.
I just loved well him, and because we've never gotten the Joker and like Harley dichotomy ever in a film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I really loved how they worked together. Like they were a team, and I liked that instead of her being some crazy psychotic chick that latched onto him.
The thing that I liked about how this was done, because I've mentioned before to people, the Joker is far from a favorite character of mine. I generally just don't like the character, regardless of who's playing him. I didn't like the Heath Ledger version. I thought it was brilliantly written.
Okay.
Brilliantly written, but I didn't like it. I loved watching the animated series as a kid, the original, the 90s animated series.
The Mark Hamill version?
Yeah, Mark Hamill. I couldn't stand the Joker in it. It's just the Joker himself is not my favorite character.
You have a deep-seated fear of clowns.
No, actually, I'm not one of those people.
No, actually, I'm a clown on the weekend.
I love clowns.
I'm a clown on the weekend.
He's a very over-the-top character.
What I thought was brilliant in what they did in this movie, I don't like this Joker, probably, it's one of my least favorite Jokers. However, what I thought was brilliant is they surprised me. Usually when you have the Joker, the story needs to revolve around the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
This story has the Joker essentially as an accessory to Harley's story. Every time you see him, it's in the context of her. And it's to give you more information about her, because she is a standout character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was an interesting play from a story writing standpoint, from a script standpoint, to not lean so heavily on the Joker for the Joker's sake. You're only using the Joker as more understanding of her.
Maybe
her
backstory, that's why I liked her motivation, him so much too, and all of that. Because I wanted to see her and how she, and like she didn't seem like some like whiny, snivelly, like, oh, Joker, I love him.
Yeah, there's a much more reciprocal relationship between them. Yeah,
it was like
you
could tell they
see.
Love each other, and that was something you don't really get in their story too much. It's more of like a sadistic kind of love,
in
and not like a true
series,
one.
It is very much Tara Strong.
Even
just like,
in the Suicide Squad animated movie, like he slaps her down constantly. Like he wants nothing to do with her until she goes to another man.
Yeah, it's usually pretty one-sided, unless.
And I really
liked
how they did it in this movie.
They didn't change that.
It made my fangirl really happy.
I still think he looks too much like a juggalo. Like
I liked it. I liked the new design.
I think.
And I loved how many outfits he had.
Oh, he had so many outfits.
They were fabulous.
But Heath Ledger, he just wins. Because like his monologues were just a masterclass in acting.
Every Joker there's been so far has brought something different to the table and has been like a very good performance. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a Joker that I just hate. Like I haven't. But everybody's different, and I really like Jared Leto's fresh take on it.
And I think that you bring up a really good point, is that we didn't really have enough to kind of get a full take of who Jared Leto's Joker, you know, can really be fleshed out to be. The little snippets that you have, they're good, but they are just to build Harley Quinn's story.
And I think they wanted to make him so different because, like, Heath Ledger was so amazing. Like, they have to make him different. They can't make him too similar, or people will just be like,
oh, he's copying.
Totally, yeah. Like,
was the voice not kind of similar, though?
The Joker's always kind of sounded like that, though. Very
arrogant.
You can't
really steer too far away from.
No, but Ledger brought like that whole like I'm a weirdo, like I'm Christian Slater,
but that's
I'm also
not what
like
I feel like. Jared Leto was not that.
I feel like I got that, like, but just with a grill in his mouth.
No,
Christian Slater.
I actually thought he sounded more like Mark Hamill in some points.
I thought
points.
That he was
like he
much
sounded
more
like,
cartoony.
Wait.
And he was more eloquent
him.
And like drawn
in
out and intense.
Jared Leto, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually in the parts where it's almost like gone to pure voiceover, like the laugh or whatever, he sounded more cartoonish, like a cartoon Joker, than Heath Ledger ever got in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, he sounded more realistic, and he definitely sounded different than the Heath Ledger one, for sure.
Like, maybe I said, you take all the existing Jokers, put them in a blender, and then throw in my cousin who's a juggalo, and then they'd all be the same.
I think.
I like it. It's good. It's good. I liked it.
And style-wise, like, I loved the motif of the movie as a whole. Like, everybody's outfits, you know, like, and the costume design, it was all very, really cool, I felt. It was fresh. It was really fresh.
I can't wait till we get to see a showdown between, you know, Batman and Joker now. Yeah. Just to see what they do, because I still feel like old man Batman is old, and I think this Joker's kind of young. So
I honestly know that apparently it was said that it's not true, but I'm still kind of vying for the Jason Todd thing.
Yeah, it would make sense. Yeah, he confirmed at San Diego Comic-Con that wasn't the case, apparently.
But the movie didn't confirm that. But these people lie
all the time.
Yeah, and that's the caveat to it all. I mean, hey, you could say whatever you
the
want.
Movie
ultimately,
didn't say
he
who
doesn't
he is.
Control the path of that character either.
But yeah, I would like to see him fleshed out a little bit more, because the difference between his role and Heath Ledger is that the film in The Dark Knight sort of revolves around the two characters, you know, with Batman and Joker, and you have the two that are, you know, pretty much in just about every other scene. But with Jared Leto, it was just a lot of like building who Harley Quinn was, and I don't feel like I could fully give the best, you know, whether or not if it passes or fails as far as for him quite yet, until I see a fully fleshed out him. Solo film probably with him.
But I did like what I saw. And, you know, Harley Quinn would not exist without him. Like, she would not exist.
I would say it is promising. I mean, like you said, it does bring a whole unique perspective for the different Joker. And one thing that a lot of fans who have been reading the new 52 series and the way the comics have gone recently with the whole rebirth is with Batman's new understanding that there's actually three Jokers now out there in the world than just the one. And so that whole mindset kind of can play havoc in certain people's minds when they come and see this, like, oh, this might be this Joker, this is that Joker. And a lot of people were comparing this, you know, Jared Leto's to the one from the new 52s with the Endgame series that was going on.
Well, but I mean, they had plenty of opportunity in the comics to pattern that Joker after Jared Leto, because the Suicide Squad promo information, I mean, that's been out for a year and a half or more now, and Endgame started, what,
2014?
6 months ago.
But I liked
Endgame?
Endgame,
it was different, and I liked 2014. That.
The way that they designed the Joker and all that was more recent than that.
Well, either way, though, overall, the way the film ends, you know, we get a satisfying, you know, closure of the Suicide Squad's battle, you know, everything dies down, and then we, at the end of the film, we catch an end credit scene, which I was actually disappointed in, because of the fact that we already knew that we've already seen the preview
for Justice League.
Yeah, you've already seen the preview for Justice League. You already know that Bruce Wayne's going to go out and do all this stuff and blah blah blah. So the whole having Bruce Wayne sit with Viola Davis and her handing him these, you know, discreet secret files or whatever, and
what did he get from those files that weren't already in the email he got from...
No, the one that he sent, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just wanted to be like, Justice League is coming, even though you've already seen the preview and it was way better.
Which is interesting to me. Like, we skipped over something that I thought was actually really interesting. In the climactic moment of the movie, Amanda Waller ends up leaving unscathed, even though she was, like, plugged into the giant death machine
hanging
of supernatural witchcraft
with
maybe part of it when Enchantress's brother was destroyed completely. Enchantress's brother could have died, and she was like, ah, and just dropped her, like, because she was just hanging. She wasn't,
but
like,
then she just showed up.
Yeah,
like,
there's she, like, doesn't have hardly any damage. Like, she's totally herself again. She's ready to
but
blow their heads off again.
But they do address that. They do kind of comment, they, like, what
they
are you doing here?
They make fun of themselves as a movie that's not making sense at that point. They're like, oh, how are you still alive?
Hang
and that's exactly what I was
for
thinking.
10 seconds, and I'm pretty sure I'm dead.
Yeah.
I will die because that's just
again, in the middle
way
of a supernatural witchy death machine.
I wanted
machine
to see a
that
badass
Harley
Quinn. I wanted to see a fresh Joker. I was entertained, and that's all that I wanted from the film, really. I didn't expect some groundbreaking, amazing film without any plot holes.
And that does bring us to the end of this review, as far as, you know what? How do we see the film?
Touch Rick Flagg's story.
There were a lot of things we didn't even talk about.
Main like, character.
I'm like,
he was like thrown in there. With
what character
romance
would you throw out? Captain Boomerang, but nobody ever asked me that question.
No. Can we talk about poor Slipknot?
Oh my gosh.
Slipknot. No, we're out of time.
Just thrown in so that he dies.
Just like they were in the movie.
We bulldozed that story out of here.
As far as the film goes, let's go around the table. Corey, does it pass or fail? And however you bang it.
You're not ready for that. So basically, I'd say it passes.
Okay.
I'd probably give it a B minus, C plus. That's it's in that range.
Okay. Chad?
So Filmlosophers, we like to pass or fail and give it a number of monocles out of five. So I would.
Sorry, I didn't know the rules.
Pass. No. I'm your rules are your rules.
I just
my rules are my rules. I give it a pass, and I would solidly put it at a 2.5. And that's really saying something because I really did not want to see this film for a long time. For most of the time that they were promoting it, I was not interested in seeing it for whatever reason. So 2.5 to me is a pretty big give.
Jessica? Yeah,
I certainly say it passed. For what I wanted out of the film, it passed. And I would give it a 4. I liked it better than Superman, Batman, and a lot of the other stuff I've seen recently.
That's a 4?
That's give
a
generous.
A 4?
A 4 would be a like a B. You gave it a B.
That's like an A minus.
Yeah, she's right. That would be a B.
That'd be about a B.
You gave it a 4 too.
I said B minus, C plus. So what is that?
All right. People? I'd give it a solid B. Because it wasn't a perfect film. Like, by any stretch of the imagination, but I got what I wanted out of it, and personally, I am satisfied.
Okay, Eddie, how about you? As for me, I give it a pass. I give it a 3.5 out of 5. 3.5 monocles out of 5, just because it is the DC film that we needed, but not the one we wanted, so to speak, and to put it in the most simplest of terms, because as much as we would have loved to have had a great start with the Batman versus Superman, the whole Justice League, that whole kickoff for DC, I think this is initially going to be the film that really draws in the crowds and brings people's excitement to wanting to invest in future DC films. So, but let us know what you think. Drop us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers, or let us know on our Twitter page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Before we go, we're going to leave you with a few movie bites. Optimus Prime battles dragons in the Transformers The Last Night released photo. You just can't beat a dead horse any more than what they're doing.
Oh,
with this
but
franchise.
They're gonna try.
And the latest image does have Optimus holding a sword, and in the foreground there are dragons. So whatever that means, it's what it means.
Exactly.
The just Defenders.
Let it be what it will be.
Eldon Henson's Foggy Nelson will appear in Netflix's anticipated Marvel series, The Defenders. So we will get a reprisal of Foggy Nelson in the...
Which is makes sense. He joined the legal team of Trinity from Jessica Jones.
No,
can't remember the actress's name. Anyway, Trinity from The Matrix owns a business, and he joined her business at the end of Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah. Last but not least, the internet is in an uproar with the reveal of the trailer for The Great Wall starring Matt Damon. We have quite a few friends who write for different publications, and that seems to be the most common thing for a lot of them, is that there is an upset amount of people who are angered because they didn't cast an Asian person in this role.
Wait. For serious? This happened?
This happened.
So Matt Damon was cast as an Asian person?
No. Matt Damon was cast as someone.
I don't know that we know who he's cast as, but he is cast in a
lead role position.
In the lead role in a movie about
the
building of the Great Wall in China. Which I think it is important to point out. It's a Chinese company, Chinese financing. It's the biggest movie that China has ever produced. And the people making the movie in China decided to hire a big American movie actor to be in the movie. Not the first time they've done that, won't be the last, but it's interesting because this kind of follows the pattern of things that we've seen Hollywood casting very interestingly casting movies. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a lot of that same ire is coming to bear here. And it's like, actually, Hollywood didn't cast this one.
Yeah, at least it's, you know, the actual country whose history they're representing, not like Hollywood like saying,
somebody
Matt
else
Damon
made
works.
This call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
let's do another Last Samurai with Tom Cruise and we'll call it a day.
Oh, God.
But that about wraps up another show, and you know what? Thanks again for listening, and of course, if you want to catch all our previous episodes, you can check us out on all the platforms we mentioned earlier, as well as our website at vgbstudios.com. There you can find us, Video Game Bang, and me, Mike Self, and I.
Oh, he did it!
I remembered, just because it was today. So, you can check us out there. Thanks again to our co-host today, Corey Vincent. Corey, where can people find you?
They can find us at the website, vgbstudios.com, on Twitter, at VideoGameBang, facebook.com/VideoGameBangBang, instagram.com@VideoGameBang, and Twitch every Wednesday and Saturday evening. You can see us live, twitch.tv/VideoGame_Bang.
Miss Jessica, Maid of Might, where can people find you at?
I am Maid of Might Cosplay on Facebook, and then Instagram, you can follow my shenanigans at Maid of Might, M-A-I-D.
And you can catch her Wednesdays on the Video Game Bang. She's joined our humble little family, along with David Webb, Aaron Carter, and it's been a lot of fun. Really enjoy hanging out with this one.
There you go.
Even though she has bad taste in movies.
That is true.
Ooh.
Bam!
Bin game bang right there. Thanks.
I like that. TM.
There you go. Well, a big thanks to all the guys that are here. And, of course, from myself, I'm Eddie Villanueva.
I'm Chad Riley.
Class dismissed.